Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, recruiting animal here on April 15th, 2020. I think this is week four of the COVID crisis. Jerry, am I right about that? This is the fourth week we're into.
Week four for us. Week 13 for Ray Ann and Lawrence in California.
Yeah.
They got the jump on this thing.
Okay, good. You're too much info. Okay, look, I want to do my intro.
Okay.
Just let me get to it. Okay. Yeah. Hey, everybody. I've seen a number of videos of recently, speaking of the virus, of these clergy people saying that the virus, it's a punishment from God. You know, for one thing or another, they've all got their, you know, their reasons. And I've seen lots of videos of these religious people saying that they can still meet in groups, you know, for prayer or whatever, because God is going to protect them because, you know, they're religious and righteous and whatever. Okay. So I wondered, okay, what if you're doing a Skype or a Zoom interview with a candidate and you make some remark about the virus just, you know, for chit chat at the start of the interview, and she starts telling you this kind of stuff right off the bat, that God is punishing people and she's immune, you know. Would you rule her out as a bad culture fit? And let me ask you something. Would it be legitimate, I mean legal, if you did? Because, you know, it has nothing to do with her professional ability. You'd be ruling her out because of her religious beliefs. Is that not true? Am I right? Okay, if you can rule her out because of culture fit in this situation, doesn't that kind of suggest that it's really just a cover for bias? Isn't that true? Well, find out on Jerry, what's your name?
The Recruiting Animal.
You
are welcome. Did you really just ask, is it okay to discriminate based on religion?
Yeah.
Did you really
kind of
God. Have you
kind
been,
of.
Have you been shut in that long? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. The flat-out answer is no.
Thank
no.
you, Jerry. I always count on you to steer me in the right direction. Yeah.
Well,
Jerry's theme song.
I'm surprised. Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
Indiana wants me. Oh, but I can't go back now.
Go back there, yeah. Funny, I had never even heard of that song.
Okay, well, I know
Still,
it.
I've never heard of it, really.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
You were born in the 40s.
Yeah.
How old are you?
You know what? Here's the thing.
What?
All these millennials, sorry, Steve, we'll get to you in a second, okay, the guest. All these millennials have been praying for the last 10 years that all the boomers would die, and God has finally answered their prayer. That's what's going to happen. Goodbye, one-stop generation. Yeah, they're going to die, and these guys can take the managerial positions. And I don't care if people hear me saying that and don't want to work with me, okay? I am proud of my opinions. And you know what? I didn't make that up myself. 100%. I was reading Scott Adamson today, okay? Trump supporter. And what's his famous cartoon? You know, the IT guy. What's the name of it? I can't remember. Anyway, he kind of He brought it. He brought it to mind. Okay, before I got to thank my sponsors. Hire Tool, Jerry, watch my spelling. HIRETUAL.com. The super duper sourcing tool everybody raves about. Did I do a good job today? I got it right.
Yep.
That's because you bug me every week. Okay, watch my spelling on this one. Hone It. H O N E IT.com. Online interview recording technology, now with video if you want it, as well as audio. Okay? Yeah! And our good friends at PCRecruiter.net, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. Man, this virus has not slowed me down, okay? And now I'm good. And Jerry neither. Jerry posted a picture of his office, everybody. He's got a big rack full of guns there, okay? Maps and guns. That's it for him. He's pretty much
Maps and guns. Tell me where and when, baby. I'll handle it.
Okay.
That's all I can tell you.
Yeah!
Who's the guest today, Animal?
A nice guy. I got to tell you, his picture makes him look like he's got a baby face. That's maybe why he wears a beard. He looks like the boy next door. Very nice guy. That's what he looks like.
That comes in handy. That comes in handy.
It's him. Wait a second. His name is... Okay, go ahead. No. Don't let me give your name out. You go ahead, Steve. Tell us, what were you going to say?
No, I'm going to stick with this nice guy persona and say, excuse me, go ahead.
Okay. His name is Steve Gibson. G-I-P-S-O-N. Okay, do they call you the Gipper? I mean, that's the first thing that came to mind for me. Talk of the 40s, okay?
Sixth grade. Sixth grade, I got that a little bit.
Really? Okay, you got no boomers who are your friends. The Gipper!
Can I ask, what are your pronouns, Steve?
You know, I'm open asking? These days. I'm open.
Okay.
Typically, you know, just go with Z, I guess, to be safe.
Z. Okay.
Okay.
Z.
All right.
Okay, you're not a woman with
Animal,
a beard.
Animal, I'm telling
okay?
you, you got to start asking this stuff, dude.
Thank you, Jerry.
Now,
you think it's
a joke, but it's not.
Now, is that an appropriate interview question? During the
interview? Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, you know what? Nobody ever takes me up on those questions. Go ahead. I ask these questions in my intro. Is it okay? You know, what would you do with someone who says that? You know, that no one ever wants to talk about that during the show. Okay. And I'm not going to – his Twitter, if you want to criticize him, his Twitter address is recruiterssites. Now, I don't know why it would sound better, recruiterssites. Instead, he's got a recruiterssites. And let me tell you something else. Nobody wants to hear my little critiques, but I have to give them. You need caps, okay? The R and the S in sites, the R in recruiter, the S in sites, they should be capitalized so they're easy to read, okay? Now, let me see. What else was I going to say? Here's how he describes himself. He's a recruiter. I don't know what kind of recruiting he does. He's a recruiter, but he also builds these websites. He says he helps recruiting firms grow business and change lives through custom website solutions and innovative marketing, okay, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, what kind of recruiter are you, Steve? What do you recruit?
Yeah, so what I started out in recruiting right out of college into healthcare for a little while, for about 2 years, and then moved into a boutique firm that specialized within the property and casualty insurance industry. So all titles, direct placement, direct hire within that industry. I haven't worked a desk in several years since we've been doing the website thing, but yeah, that's my background. Spent about 2 years.
Oh, hey, you did not put that on your LinkedIn profile. I said, oh, this guy's, you know, been working in recruiting for 7 years. Not true. Okay.
You got him, Animal. You caught him. Got him.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I just let you make some assumptions.
Nice work.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. He wanted. Yeah. You know what you call that?
There's nothing
That's
wrong with
deceptive.
That.
That's deceptive advertising.
No. I don't think so. I don't think so. No.
Okay.
What you want to believe isn't his problem.
No, Jerry. If it says 2010 to present, he's leading my belief, okay? I didn't make it up in a fantasy. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's an important question. I don't know. Am I different from other people? If a headhunter posts an ad, about a specific time and doesn't realize that it's no longer EST, does that mean he's stupid? To me, it does. What about for you, Steve?
No, I don't care. Honestly, you know, if it can be whatever people want it to be, I don't care.
Oh, so details,
doesn't bother me.
Details. That means details aren't important to you, okay? And a guy who's building websites
Animal.
Should never. What?
What would you prefer? Greenwich Mean Time minus 6 or something, or
like
yeah.
Ritz?
Yeah. What nautical timeline do you need to really nail down? I mean, what EST, CST, we know what you mean. What's
yeah, if I got to worry about that, then it there's just
yeah.
too much to worry about right now. It that seems pointless.
Okay. Here's one of my standard questions now. Sorry, everybody. We'll get to the heavy stuff, but I find this kind of stuff important. Is mansplaining a big problem in business today? Okay. Steve,
help me with your definition of mansplaining.
No. You give us your
what?
Definition.
Does this guy live in the modern era?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a little sheltered here in Missouri, but mansplaining, it helped me understand a little bit more. Is it just
it's
a
when you
a
talk
quick...
down to women, you treat them like children who don't know anything, so you're always telling them.
Oh, well,
stuff
see, I'm a
need...
nice guy. We already established that, so I don't do that. So no. So,
okay,
I mean, is
yeah.
that the,
you,
is that
wait,
the problem
you failed
personally?
This question. Move on. Okay, here's a real recruiting question.
Yeah.
Get to the point on salary. I read somebody, a candidate or someone who was approached by a recruiter said this. He said, whenever a recruiter calls me, it takes annoyingly long to find out that they're offering me a move to a crappier town for less money. And I agree with this person. Lots of coaches say, look, the first thing they're going to ask you is how much, and don't tell them. Say, look, this is a career issue, not a money issue. Money's secondary, you know. I find that deceptive. That would bug me if somebody called me and did that. What do you think about that, Steve?
Well, my training when I would be working the desk would be that person, if they're more interested in dollars versus finding out more about the opportunity first, whether or not it's something they would be interested in, and then figuring out the money and the details behind that, they're probably not a good candidate to take into that process anyway. So if they're all about money, more than likely we're going to be getting into this long couple week process, and all it's going to end up in heartache. So
you know what?
It may
Let
be a good way to
interrupt
qualify.
You there. This is where I would count on Jerry to come in and say, we've been being fed that stuff since the 1980s for 30 years, and it still isn't true.
We kind of have, Animal. Yes. That is what we were all fed in the 80s and 90s, and it really – Man, a lot of that stuff was back before anybody had the internet. You didn't know anything about anything, and it was like the only info you were going to get was through whatever input the recruiter wanted to allow you to have. There wasn't the ready access to data 30 years ago. But while
you
were talking about that, I was realizing Steve here is from Rush Limbaugh's hometown.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I'm
Do you
looking,
know Rush?
No, I don't know him. I had some of the same teachers as him, and they had some good stories. But his family's
cool.
in our town, big law firm here. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
That's all I had to say about that.
I want to come back to this salary issue. I don't think it's a information access issue like Jerry does. I think it's like, look, what are you talking to me for 10 minutes for? If I'm never going to be happy with the salary. Salary is a very important thing, okay? Let's get that out of the way, and then let's talk, okay? And then if they say, I don't want to tell you the salary because, you know, I'll give you a too high. I want to be able to negotiate. And it's just, I mean, I have a problem with salary because you get a range. And, you know, should you tell them the full range or should you give them a little less so you've got some wiggle room at the end? I find it a very difficult issue. But just pushing it to the side, I don't think that's reasonable, okay? And if a candidate – go ahead. Go ahead.
So it's tough, though. So because the recruitment relationship between a candidate and a recruiter is about trust. So if they don't trust the fact that you're going to be able to help them through that process, and so say you share the salary requirements with them, that's great. But then they're unwilling to share, and really probably not legally allowed or required anymore to share their salary information with you and what they're currently earning. Then all of a sudden it's all one sided. So I mean, to me, if there's going to be a salary requirement shared on one side, then they need to share where they're at from a salary perspective. So it's open, there's honest, there's trust there, and everybody can move forward with the process. That would be a give and take,
Jerry,
I would think.
This guy's a good speaker. He's made a mistake by moving away from recruiting to just, the a techie kind of role. Although you're the sales manager for your company, right?
We don't know if he's made a mistake. We don't know that.
Okay.
He might just be really rocking it right now. I mean, we don't know.
Okay. Here's a headhunter and a website question. Look, lots of our audience here are real headhunters. They're not looking for masses of resumes from pizza drivers who are going to, see a website, they send in a resume and then start bugging you, help me, help me, help me, okay? A headhunter gets a very specific job order from a hiring manager, and they're looking sometimes for a needle in a haystack. There's not masses of people. What do they need a website for that's really just going to attract a lot of uninteresting people to them? Okay.
Sure. So, I think that there's always this assumption, and we'll make some distinctions here, but there's always this assumption that websites in themselves are for candidates. But my question would be why? In most cases, the firms that we work with are going to be direct hire firms. There's a distinction between direct placement and staffing firms. And obviously there's an overlap in a lot of different ways. Firms bleed into different areas. But if you are a contract staffing to hire type of firm, then you're going to be more worried about candidate generation and flow of resumes because you need more bodies. If we're talking more for direct hire headhunting firms that are going out actually finding that needle in the haystack like you mentioned, no, 100%, we don't want candidates. All that does is makes me waste my time talking to people that aren't fit. So they're a manager at Best Buy looking to be an underwriting manager. That's not going to be a good fit. But those websites are not for your candidates. They're for your clients. They're for generating and giving a great first impression to people that you're reaching out to for prospecting calls. Anyway, in the world of recruiting as well, especially direct hire, if you're reaching out to high-level individuals, that same candidate you're reaching out to would be someone that potentially could be a client at any given point. Maybe you place them, they move up through the ranks, maybe they place them in a manager role, now they're hiring. So now, that candidate that you're reaching out to is still someone that is a potential client or prospect in the future. And so that's who that website's for. It's for making great impressions, reiterating your expertise to prospective clients, and driving them in through resources, through like digital marketing,
so search
engine
optimization. So it's a business development tool. It's a business development. Okay. What special features are required by a recruiter's website that would make you, as a former recruiter, a better website builder?
So with our team here.
Excellent question. Great question.
It is a good question.
It's been several shows that he hasn't had a good question in about 3 or 4 shows now. So that was good. He's back. You're back, Animal.
Thank you.
You're back.
The biggest distinction that we have here within our organization, and myself, and so we're a family company. Our lead developer, a guy that founded this company, his name is Jeff Gibson. He's my brother. He comes from the industry as well. But it probably wouldn't surprise you, the boutique firm that we came from was a family-ran recruiting firm.
I got to tell you something. Boutique is improper. It's boutique, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
Dude,
that's
he's in Missouri, man.
That's the Missouri in me.
God.
Says the guy that says process.
Niche.
Come on, eh? Let's move forward with that. So Jeff and myself, we've been around this industry our entire life. And so when we go to build a website for our clients, our team, everyone here, we think about it from a recruiting perspective first. So, again, like these things we're talking about, each client we have the opportunity to have a conversation with, a prospective client. We're going to talk about their niches, their industries, their digs, who their primary audience is, who their clients are that they like to reach out to, the size of companies, the types of candidates they want to source, how they approach
that. What difference do those – hold on. Okay, hold on. So we just put a decide, you know, what kind of candidates do they want to source. Okay, that's good for some people. But here we're focusing on, look, that was Michael G. Cox, MikeRecruiter.com. He just started his own, you know, he's a former corporate recruiting manager. He just started his own headhunting operation in, I don't know, September or something like that, somewhere in the fall.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's
in,
not.
In like October, November.
Michael G. Cox, are you looking for lots of sales? Well, you have a niche. Are you looking for lots of salespeople to send you resumes, or am I on the right track here that you don't want pizza guys sending you their resumes? And so where was I? Where was I? Sorry, everybody. Where was I going? I went off on a tangent. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we already addressed that that's not really going to be
yeah.
a certain.
Yeah, but
you know,
now then you came back and you're saying you're asking these questions. What kind
well,
of
because not every
firm
is well, not every firm is exactly the same because we do work within the staffing world as well. So we got to figure these things out. It's just one of those things that we talk about. It's just
no,
part
let's,
of the
let's
part
keep
of the.
It narrow for a minute. A headhunter. I want to know
a headhunter
who goes out looking
how many
for
people,
specific people.
Let me ask you, so have you guys ever experienced this? I may be completely off base on this, but you're talking to a friend, a family member, maybe someone you haven't spoken with in a while, and they ask, hey, so what are you doing now, Jerry? What are you doing now, Animal? And you're going to say, well, I'm a headhunter. What? Yeah, I'm a recruiter. Well, what do you mean, like for the Army? You mean for, like, what do you mean? And most people in the general public, they've never been exposed to recruiter or headhunter. They don't know what it is. And even in the world of agency work and website design and development, that's the same case. We got recruiters, headhunters, going to agencies and website developers, asking them to build them a website, and they don't even know what they do. They have no clue what it is, the details behind it, knowing that clients are seemingly more important.
There's your preamble.
Candidate.
Stop. Now, what do you – let me –
I'm going to disagree with that.
Ago, I asked a question. Okay, sorry. I took things off track. It's my fault, everybody. Okay, what do you as a former recruiter
– A decade ago, nobody knew what a recruiter was. Yeah, a decade ago, even longer, people really didn't know what recruiting is. Now it's the career path du jour. Everybody knows a recruiter. Hell, everybody is a recruiter. So I'm just going to say, yeah, I mean, everybody knows what recruiting is if they've got any experience
Thank
in
you,
the
Jerry.
Workforce
Let
in the last 10
years.
Let
this guy get back on track. And the thing is, you speak
on
well.
Track,
I just
he answered like it was 1983.
You're right. I didn't disagree with you.
But
you made your point. I just want to let him get back.
I'd say go out.
I was done talking. So let me end my talking when I'm done with it. I'm done.
Okay.
If we could go out to go out in public right now, I would say let's go out in public and do a sample. But we got to stay 6 feet away. So there'd be some shouting across the street. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we'd be able to do
that. You're quite a funny guy. Okay. Look, slow down a second.
No, he's good. He's good.
No, I want to be like Trump's sessions every day when he tells the reporters, this is the question you should be asking me. You should be ashamed of yourself, okay? Now, I'm not saying that you should be ashamed.
I love
but you
that.
Were talking so fast. You were just dishing out all that stuff, and I wanted to slow you down for a minute. So we're talking about a headhunter.
He's going off his cue cards.
He's looking for needles in a haystack. What questions are you going to ask a headhunter that you know to ask that are going to be special for his or her website? Go ahead. Follow me.
Yeah, so finding out more about their verticals, you know, within that as well. Again,
how is that going to be significant?
Finding out with the vertical, it can be everything for them in that way because being able to emphasize that expertise and who they are within that industry is huge because clients are looking for recruiters that understand who they are and what they do. Just like our clients are looking for website design agencies that understand who they are and what they do because it's easy
okay,
to have
wait,
conversations.
Wait. So you're talking now about content. You're writing the content for the website as well, not just the structure. Anything structural about a recruiting website that's different than other websites in the design and the features?
So the aesthetics and the look and feel, the flow of a website, it's that's going to be pretty, you know, from a perspective of it needs to look great and it needs to flow and be user friendly. We're helping from the nuts and the bolts, so all the way from the content and the information into the design, the aesthetics, the layout. We go through a whole process determining each of these things. We don't do any templates or anything like that. So each client we work with, we're truly crafting these for each of them based off of their niche, their verticals, their area of expertise. We find out what they want that balance to be, client versus candidate, because again, like you said, you know, me working a desk, maybe I want 80% client because I don't want to hear from a candidate. But other people, maybe they go out and do more of an MPC approach, and they want to hear from some candidates.
Okay. Let's talk money. How much? You can give us a range if you like.
Anywhere from, you know, $1 to about $30,000. Just depends.
$1, yeah. Thank you. $30,000?
No. Slippery.
Yeah.
$30,000? What?
No, it really does vary depending on the needs of each client. If we're doing custom integration, so like PC Recruiter you mentioned is one of your sponsors, which is a great company. One of those things that we do a lot with them is we build API integrations with their platform. So, you know, going through and doing custom development between their website and PC Recruiter, and then maybe another CRM or marketing automation system to synchronize all that. Data is flowing through all that.
Sort of beyond me. I don't understand this. So that's valid stuff, but I don't understand it. But speaking of PC Recruiter, just let me say, PC Recruiter is the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. It is good for every kind of recruiter. You know, this guy Steve is saying, well, what kind of recruiter are you? Do this and that. They're good for every kind of recruiter, and they let you customize their software to suit you. They don't impose a system on you. And if you don't know how to do it, they're happy to help you, even if you're a kitchen table recruiter, even if you're a nobody, okay? They want to support you, okay, PC Recruiter? Check them out, PCRecruiter.net. Okay, so he doesn't want to talk about cost, but here's, you know, he's
nope.
a salesperson.
Nope.
He doesn't say, you know, Animal, I don't want to talk about cost. It's specific to the different person. 0 to 30, he gives a phony figure. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, look, is this wrong? Is this morally wrong? This company laid off 400 people with a recorded message.
It's the bird, right? I saw that.
Yeah. Is it wrong?
Yeah,
is it morally wrong?
That's a tough move there.
It's efficient. I don't know.
Anybody want to take that on? I think I don't know. What are they going to call everybody individually? I mean, what's the story there? Anybody?
I don't know if it's morally wrong, but it was pretty uncool.
Okay.
I don't know if
I just like to go through some of the questions that appear on Facebook during the week. Okay. What about hiring? You're hiring a recruiter. What about hiring charm over skills? Someone wrote, "I would totally hire someone with more charm than skills to be a recruiter in my firm." And I agree with that 100%. Well, what do you say about that, Steve Gibson?
Well, I mean, you can train skills. You can't. It is hard to train somebody to have the personality to be able to get on the phone and get bloodied up and be able to talk with a lot of type of people. But if you can train them in the skills of, hey, this is how you be a good recruiter, with being diligent, planning, segmenting your day, being succinct in what you do, then yeah, I would agree with that. I think anybody can be made into a good recruiter if they have the personality and the tenacity to be able to follow what makes a good recruiter, and being able to manage that process.
Anybody disagree on the line? Anybody disagree? I agree with that 100%. Okay. I don't know if it'll be, I don't think it'll be true for a technical job. Okay. But I think it's true for any kind of sales, almost any kind of, especially not a technical sale. Yeah.
I mean, recruiting sales, it's the hardest sales there ever is. You got two products that think for themselves and lie to you at any point.
I don't have to hear that hackneyed stuff. Michael G. Cox, were you going to say something? MikeRecruiter.com.
If you're trying to hire for yourself and you're trying to do it cheap, yes, hiring a great attitude and on a guy that has no clue what the hell they're doing, you know, I guess you can take that risk.
Boy, I don't understand that answer at all. It sounded, yeah, you could do it, but it's a really bad idea. That's what your tone said. There was an under subtext, okay?
Yeah, man.
I don't. You think that's a bad idea? You think it's a bad idea?
Yes.
Why?
Why would you go with a person that has only? I mean, try and hire for both. And I think if all else fails, go for the person that has done it before and done it well, instead of the guy that you think it has a really great attitude.
I think we all know what charm is being talked about here. I think we know what everybody means. I think we know.
All right. Okay.
I didn't mean it that way. She might have meant it that way, but
I didn't mean it that way. Right.
No, I didn't.
Right.
No, Jerry. Yeah. Jerry, I'm going to be your conscience now. I didn't mean it that way. Okay.
Jerry,
I just want to mention.
I didn't even know
I just wanna,
thrown down.
Yeah, I want to mention Hire Tool. H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L. HIRETUAL.com. They are the super duper sourcing tool. I mean, there's other good sourcing tools, but Hire Tool, everybody loves it. When there's any discussion about sourcing tools on Facebook groups, it's always mentioned. There are always people, important people, famous recruiters saying, love it, love it, love it. Go check them out. HIRETUAL.com. Okay, you know, Steve Gibson. Gibson. Not Gibson. You know, somebody had the name Gibson and they didn't know how to spell, and they ended up with your name. I'm sure of it. Okay, but anyway, so you're the sales guy. You're the little brother, okay? And your brother took you on as a salesperson. How do you do business development?
For me, you know, it's a lot of everything. I do spend a lot of time cold calling. LinkedIn's done a really good job of building a recruiter database for me. So I spend a lot of time on there as well. Messaging, connecting, we send out emails. We do some digital marketing, social marketing.
So you do
like
everything,
well.
Okay. Well, what's your big one? So you mentioned a few things. In mails, there's emails, you said social, and you said cold calls. So what's your number one first method of contact?
My number one is it's a cold call. Old school. Yeah, I do phone calls.
Why is that? Why? Because, you know, lots of people, they really put it down today. Phone calls, nobody answers their phone, et cetera. Why are you using the phone?
So recruiters answer the phone. They're always willing to answer the phone, which is great for me. And from my perspective, most people, they're getting over inundated with sales emails all the time. And so if I can just pick up the phone and call them, I can usually get to a much quicker, hey, does this make sense or not, kind of answer before they ignore me, which I'd rather have a yes or no than just something in limbo through an email or through a message. So, it seems to be effective still within our industry and what we do. People want to talk on the phone.
Do you block your phone number? Do you block your phone number?
No.
No. Okay. Jerry says, Jerry's here so he can correct me. He says, if you block your phone number, no one's ever going to pick up. Is that true or not?
Oh, I would think it would make them skeptical. People are so skittish with things. It's going to make them want to jump down your throat.
Nobody's actually going to answer the phone.
But, I mean, probably not.
Michael G. Cox. Michael G. Cox.
Nobody's going to actually answer that phone. Nobody's going to pick it up.
Really? Oh, you're with
Send
Jerry.
Voicemail.
Okay. Well, look.
Blocked right on there. I mean, people aren't going to answer it. A recruiter probably will. I'd just be curious. Hey, dummy, why are you blocking your number? Who are you? But most regular people. Regular people aren't going to answer a blocked phone call.
Well, Jerry said that
10 years ago anyway.
Yeah, what if it said, you know, XYZ staffing, okay? Would they pick up?
Yeah?
I don't think so. Okay. Okay, so what's the first thing you say?
Most people are answering stuff on their cell phones. Cell phones, most frequently, unless you're paying for an additional service, caller ID, unless you're paying for caller ID, it's just going to show the phone number, unless the person is in there as a contact. If they're not in there as a contact, it's just going to show the phone number. Do you even have a phone? Do you know how
I'm on something
works?
Right now.
I'm on a phone right now, okay, but I don't use mobile as my daily.
Landline without even a with a display on it, nothing? Like it just rings?
I got called display. Okay. It cost me a lot of money every month.
So when people call you, does it say blocked?
No.
Or does it show you the phone number?
Right. Or sometimes it says out of area. It says stuff like that, out of area sometimes and stuff. Like
no.
Okay, let me get back to this. Hold on.
Well, I'm just
what
saying,
the
your whole series of questions there was totally irrelevant to the modern era.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah,
do you block your phone number?
Okay. Jer. Okay, I mean Steve.
Yeah.
Steve Gibson.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
Okay. So once they pick up the phone, what's your first words?
I will confirm who I'm speaking to. Hey, is this animal? Yeah, this is animal. Great. And I will always say, now, this may bring up an argument here. I will always say, have I caught you with just a few seconds?
Depends.
And then
what's it about?
Sounds all right. Oh, yeah. What's it about?
You talk to Jerry. Don't talk to me. Talk to Jerry.
Sorry,
ask Jerry.
Dick. I'd hang up on you, animal. I would. You just got a shitty attitude right off the bat. Bam. Next. You would never even hear about my wonderful product. Never. You wouldn't get that far. You don't deserve it.
Yeah, I guess I don't. So let him talk to you instead of me. Steve Gibson, talk to Jerry, okay? Go ahead.
Hey, Jerry, I haven't caught you with just a second.
Sure.
Great.
What's up?
So, yeah, I wanted to introduce myself. My name's Steve Gibson. I'm with a company called Recruiters Websites, and we are a website design and marketing firm that specializes solely within the recruiting industry. And we have over 15 years of combined experience as recruiters ourselves, and so we use that background and that expertise to help our clients have the opportunity to build more relationships and make more placements. Does the timing seem to make sense to have a conversation in more detail about our services and your firm?
I just use WordPress, and I don't really give a shit about my website.
So do you have a website?
Barely.
So why do you have one if it's insignificant to you?
That's a good question.
It auto-renews with GoDaddy.
Yeah.
So if it's not important, that is a good question. And it looks bad. Do you think it's probably doing you more harm than good if someone does stumble across it?
Well, in my opinion, what does more harm than good is not having anything. And I'm comfortable with what I have, but that's not the kind of recruiting business I focus on. We're more of a proactive firm, but we do have a website that I'm comfortable with. I'm not big on all the automation.
Sure. No,
that
makes sense.
The newfangled stuff.
So with the website in itself, so I guess tell me more about your process. How do you go about securing new clients?
Great question. I don't have the time to get into that right now, but, I mean, you can check back with me down the road, though.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to. I'll call up in a few weeks.
Make it a couple months.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay,
I'm not doing anything in 2 weeks. All right, man.
That's fine.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Yeah, bye. Click.
Okay. Not bad. But, I didn't interrupt, and I forgot what I was saying. Oh, voicemail. Do you use voicemail? Thank you, Jerry.
I do.
Thanks, Jerry.
Voicemail. I'll leave voicemail, but I also follow up them with an email, and then so this is where I get kind of stalkerish. Voicemail, and then I will connect with them on LinkedIn. Potentially send an email, and then even if they have an open connection on LinkedIn, I will even follow up potentially with a LinkedIn message too.
How many voicemails will you leave?
I don't do it. Like, I'm not the kind of sales guy that's going to shove it down your throat. I'll leave a voicemail and follow up in 3-4 weeks and leave another voicemail. And then bring it out farther than that. I don't want to do the one touch and be done. I think there's people got a lot of things going on. So, I'll leave several voicemails within a year.
Hold on. It said, will you send an email at the same time as you're sending a voicemail?
So what I'll say in the voicemail is I'll follow up with an email as well with some more details and look forward to the opportunity to have a conversation. So I prop that in my voicemail.
Okay. So let's say you're calling or contacting them once a month. How many months will you drag it out for?
there's been people I've tried to contact and been in touch with and for years, and they've resulted in sales after years. But yeah, I mean, I'll keep them in my file forever until I can finally get an answer.
Okay. And here with Jerry, I don't know, you let him off the hook when he said 2 months. Would you press harder if it was a real-life scenario?
So with that, I would have pressed to send him an email and asked him if it would be okay if I send him some information and then follow up within, what he said, about 2 months or whatever it would be. I'd probably follow up a little sooner than that, but I'd be respectful of it because I don't want to – it's about timing with these things. If it's not a right fit for Jerry, that's fine. Do I think that someone that could benefit from it? Yeah, but if he's not ready to see that, or if it's not, doesn't make sense, then we'll
just work
together.
So you're not a hard seller. You don't recommend hard selling. Am I right about that?
No, not at all. To me, it's a turn off personally, and so I think it would be a turn off to most people. But maybe I'm losing sales because of it.
Now, can I ask here?
Yeah.
Who does recommend hard selling?
To everybody. You got to persuade. You got to persuade that after they give their objections, you have to persuade them. Turn their no's into yeses.
No way, man. Gosh.
Steve?
Yeah.
Steve Gibson, what do you think about that?
Yes, sir.
The sale begins when the customer says no.
I'm saying hard sales. A couple no's. That's where you're – then you got to kind of get the idea. But animal makes it seem like you really need to – push somebody into a corner until they just can't get away from you.
I totally disagree
with that.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the way I recruited a little bit as well, and the way I treated candidates when I was reaching out to different candidates to talk to them about opportunities is, I'm more about, there's a lot of people out there that could be a really great fit. If I get into the conversation and we're having a more detailed discussion, I'll be a little more aggressive. But initially, if they have no interest, I'm not going to twist their arm. All I'm going to do is waste an hour of time. Maybe even later on that, putting together a proposal and going through the whole process just to end up with Steve, this is I didn't see the value in this to begin with, no matter what you said, kind of thing. And so I've just wasted time. Whereas if I nurture it a little bit and be respectful, and down the road it could turn into something. That could be me.
Right on, man. Right on.
Okay. Yeah. I noticed that with Jerry, you didn't try to build any rapport first. Like, say, how about this coronavirus? Eh? You didn't say, tough. This is an odd time to be alive. You didn't say anything like that.
Well,
yeah, people dying, man. This is getting rough, Jerry.
Wow. Yeah. How's your grandma?
I probably would err more on the side of just getting into it. I would. There may be some room for improvement on that.
Okay. You know, you should go after the show, go to YouTube and look up Dan Harris. He's a journalist, a new TV journalist. I think NBC. He sounds exactly like you. I'm not kidding. A lot, okay? And that's why I complimented you. You sound like a real pro. Okay. Anybody else? There's people on the line. Anybody got some questions? I'm enjoying this conversation, but I'm not saying that, like Jerry says, I don't always ask good questions. Anybody or Steve Gibson, you can say, am I missing some expertise? I haven't asked you something that you think the recruiting audience would really find valuable that and lots of people don't? Hello?
So I was going to give other people opportunity to say something.
I'm talking to you. I mean, I say, no,
okay.
I don't. Or I'll wait,
All right.
Go ahead. Do you have anything?
Yeah, so, again, the main thing that we run into all the time is, Steve, I don't need a website because I have worked with one or two clients that I do a lot of business with. I've been working with them 20 years. I've been doing this 25 years without a website myself or with a terrible website, and I don't need it. It doesn't do me anything. It do me any good. Well, my recommendation to anyone that's in that position or in that situation would be, well, look at what we're currently at now. You have 1 to 2 good clients. 4 weeks ago, they went bye-bye overnight, more than likely. If we're always marketing – always reaching out to prospective clients, having the resources like a website that emphasize that. Not just a website, but a full digital presence. LinkedIn's a great tool. It's a wonderful tool to have resources there to drive people to your brand, to your website, to get more involved in who you are as an organization.
Okay, so other words, hold on. Okay, we don't need the whole spiel here. Okay, you're saying...
I was enjoying it! Gosh! you finally you open it up to your guest to share just a couple of his thoughts, and then you cut him off.
Okay, go ahead.
How uncool, man.
Go
anything
ahead,
more uncool
Steve.
Than that is firing 400
no,
people
all he
on
was just saying, look, all he said is, look, okay, look, if you can't trust two clients, you got to always be, looking to fill your pipeline. Okay, I got it. Okay, was there anything you have to add
oh, really?
To that I missed out? The Jerry
we'll
meeting
never
that
know.
I was.
We'll never know. God damn it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, hey, there's no doubt I'm long-winded, Animal. So, I mean, you surmised it.
What about
good.
SEO? Okay, look, let me take you up on that. You haven't mentioned
yeah.
SEO at all. So search engine optimization about, look, Jerry, if someone does a search for, IT guys, I could have you on the first page of Google. Is that a promise you make, anything like that?
So SEO is not a magic wand. Even websites in themselves, this is what we always tell people, because there's this preconceived idea that if you build a website, a beautiful website, and you spend all this money in doing it, it's going to automatically start bringing you in clients. And even from an SEO perspective, automatically start sending people to your door if you rank first page. It's not a field of dreams. That's what a website's not. And even if you have the most beautiful website in the world, it's still not going to build that relationship. They're not going to go to your website and ready to sign on the dotted line. What it should do is facilitate more opportunities for relationships, and that leads to more placements. But with an SEO world, you want to be able to make sure it's optimized and coming up as high and visible as possible and spending time doing that. But it's not something that ultimately overnight is going to change you from, page 6 to page 1. It's a process, not necessarily an event, and it does take some time. But there's some foundations and things that can be set up at a one-time kind of perspective. We do when we build the websites, making sure the descriptions, titles, all those things are in place.
Okay.
So Google
okay,
can read
that. All
that
behind-the-scenes stuff with the SEO, you're saying, sorry, buddy, you still might be on page 6 and no one's going to see you. Okay. That's essentially what I hear you telling me right now. Okay. There's lots of people who say, look, it's easy to get you onto the first page, and I can do it. You're not promising that at all.
No, what we say is we'll set you up to be set up properly with the way our search engines are looking to looking for the what their algorithms run at this point, and then from there it's really up to the search engines to do that. I mean, we can be and if you want to be aggressive, we're doing things like creating monthly landing pages or monthly content creation through blog articles, things like that. You're gonna have more chance and you're gonna move up quicker. But if we're just setting it up to be found and be found properly with the descriptions and the titles and the keywords wrapped around those things, then yeah, I can't guarantee it. Anybody that says they can is lying.
Okay. What about if you're talking to a person, nice guy like Jerry, they're having a conversation with you, and he says, look, he doesn't say I use WordPress and I don't care about it much. He says, okay, I got a website. I used Wix or Square, one of these do-it-yourself tools. He says, I like the look of it. They're quite professional. How do you handle that objection?
Sure. So from there, if they have a website that's set up through those platforms and it's working for what they do, then let's try to see if there's opportunities for things like you're talking about with the SEO optimization. Most of the time, they're not going to have those keywords and key phrases in place that they need to. So we can still go into systems like that and provide value there, while also, other things like blog, SEO manager, social media management, creating content on posts through there, things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Hey,
so here's some
Steve,
other.
I'm curious. Do you have
Go ahead, Mike.
Do you have case studies or something? Like, we did Jerry's website, and check out what has changed in his world.
Yeah, so we have a lot of clients that we've been able to see some pretty good success with, especially from a perspective of rankings and driving in potential clients, things like that. So yeah, I don't necessarily, I guess, have the white paper on it myself, but I can point you to and show you different clients that are ranking well for their digs, for their niches, and seeing those results and traffic come in because of that.
Yeah, the problem with that is when people sell you that way, Mike, is just like this COVID thing. We don't know how many people are totally infected. So, 3,000 people and 99% of them survived. Okay, but we don't know what or this percentage died, and so it's like a huge percentage.
But yeah, we don't know that there was a much bigger populace that was actually infected. So it's a small percentage. When these guys will do their work, they'll say, look, this website generated 50% more business, but they don't tell you how many websites didn't generate that. I'm not putting you down, Steve. I'm just saying that's a tricky thing to navigate, these examples.
No, it's not tricky. It's giving an example. Some people like examples, right, Animal?
No, it's not just giving an example because you're not getting a full picture. You're not getting picture.
I would say it's the other way a little bit, Animal.
Everybody has to at least be able to say, hey, look what I did. And an example or a case study is a really cool way to highlight that. And I'm sure, Steve, you've probably got that outlined on your website so you can just say, hey, look what I did.
Sure. So I think what a lot of people do from a over exaggeration on case studies to kind of play into what Animal's saying a little bit, not necessarily that, you know, how many websites were affected by it, it would be in the sense, well, we had 1,000 people come in on Tuesday to your website. Well, you know, were those 1,000 people actually individuals that make sense for my niche? You know, or are they just random people finding me? So that's where the mindset needs to be. Not I just need 1,000 people to my site. I need 1,000 people that fit in my niche, in my vertical, in my dig, that are could potentially be clients. I don't need warm bodies. I want specific people. So 100 good people that actually relate to your industry or your niche is way better than 10,000 people to your website that don't. And so those are things to consider when we're looking at numbers about traffic. You know, again, hundreds of specific people are better than 1,000 wrong. So,
and you'll only know that by this, you know, by looking at the sales or a number of actual recruits, and assuming that some of them came through the website. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you look at the analytics. You see how people are navigating that site. So you can see where people land when they first get there, and then where they go, how long they stay on the site, if they're visiting more pages, things like that you can take a look at. And, you know, recruiting is – there's no widget. You're not buying a specific type of product when you get there. It's so much about timing. So if John Smith from client ABC comes to your website, looks around, spends some time on there, 3-4 minutes, that's a lot of time on a website, that's great because maybe he doesn't have a need now, but 2 weeks from now, maybe his lead, you know, I don't know, CFO.
Do you know Adam – hold on, wait, this show's almost over. Do you know Adam W. Gordon from Candidate ID?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Because what he would do with just what you said about analytics, his tool keeps track of those people and counts, like, you know, maybe you've got an email going out to people and, you know, it counts the number of times they click and visit your website and how much time they spend on the articles and the kind of information they're looking for on your website, and it grades them. And when they get to a certain count, like 9 points out of 10, then the recruiter tries to identify them and get in touch with them, or it sends them a graduated kind of it nurtures them in a graduated way, depending on, you know, the feedback you're getting from their clicks, you know, the stuff, the content they click on, and how often they participate. I'll try to introduce you after. I'm not saying you want to do business with them, but it sounds like there might be something there for you. I have to mention Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T. Honeit, you should not pay me for today. I mean, like, I'm going to do your ad, and it's like there's 10 minutes. So I have mentioned you a few times already, H-O-N-E-I-T. It is a tool that records your interviews, and it turns them into full searchable transcripts, but you can also create little clips. So, you know, and then you send them to the hiring manager. The hiring manager could listen to the whole interview, but probably wants to only hear the key questions. When you're about to ask a key question, you click a button on the screen, and then when you're finished talking about that topic, you click another button, you get a clip. Pass it on to the hiring manager, anybody else on the hiring committee, and they can hear the candidate talking about it in her own words. You know, if there's a lot of sizzle there, they get it directly. It's better than a dry report. Not only that, if you, the recruiter, can't really understand all of the technical details, they can, and you've captured it, okay? You probably couldn't make notes that would grab all that stuff, but, you know, the candidate can blab it all out there, and it could just go right over your head, but it won't go over your hiring manager's head. He or she
has that information. It was just audio before, but they had a demand for video, so now it's video as well, as well as the transcript, what I mentioned. Honeit, HONEIT.com, HireTool, HIRETUL.com, and PCRecruiter.net. I have a few sales questions since we've been talking a lot about sales, Steve Gibson. But what's the name of your company again? RecruitersSites.com. Am
websites.
I right about that?
No. RecruitersWebsites.com.
Oh, okay. But your Twitter name is RecruitersSites, right? At RecruitersSites.
Yeah.
And RecruitersWebsites.com is your website, right? Okay.
That's right,
and
yeah.
Okay. And I read an article. The woman said 80% of sales – require at least 5 follow-ups after the initial contact, but 40% of salespeople give up after 1. Did she just pull that out of her hat, or is it specific to some specific sector? Would you say that's generally true? 80% of sales require 5 follow-ups after the initial one?
You know, 73% of all statistics are made up. So,
this one you don't find it meaningful. You don't find it just no, throw it out.
No, I think that's been an old thing in sales. You know, it's just with anything. It's about touches, familiarity, timing with things. So, I think there is multiple touches. Do I know exactly what the number is? No, but do I think if we can get in front of them multiple different ways and multiple times, is it effective? Yes, 100%.
Okay, Michael G. Cox, you're a sales recruiter. Does your sales philosophy differ from that of Steve Gibson?
I don't think there's a specific number, but until they say, dude, leave me alone, just keep following up. You know,
and
don't use your high-pressure, aggressive tactics.
Okay. Here's another one. She says, we were talking about marketing automation. That's what Candidate ID is. Okay. She says, businesses that use marketing automation to nurture the sales prospect's experience, the sales prospect experience of 451%, not 450, 451% increase in qualified leads. It doesn't sound like you're familiar with marketing automation that nurtures prospects. Am I right about that, Steve? You don't know anything about that stuff. Am I right?
No, that's not correct. No, we do a lot of that for clients and of course for ourselves as well. But yeah, marketing automation is great. I don't have the numbers or statistics that she has. But when you're trying to reach out to potential clients and sending in say an email, and then within that email, if they click on a certain link, then it moves them into a different type of campaign or different to a different type of journey in an email automation system. Then they click on that and they get the different sequences and different information presented to them.
Why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me that when I was preaching about Candidate ID? I mean, when you say, oh, listen, animal, I know about all that stuff. What do you think? I'm an idiot? Okay?
Well,
so you know
no, I
all
you
about
them,
that already.
I thought you were giving them a good plug. I thought it was great.
I like them. But I mean, like, you were misrepresenting yourself. You were making yourself look like you didn't know anything. Okay? He knows everybody.
No, I mean, there's a lot of products out there. I don't know that product potentially. I would love to find out more about it. But, things like HubSpot, ActiveCampaign, different things like that are out there.
Okay. If you're a guest on the show, you're supposed to speak up and reveal what you know, okay? Let me see if there's anybody I haven't opened the lines on who joined recently. There's still a lot of people, but only Michael G. Cox is talking. Okay. Retaining customers is 6 to 7 times less costly than acquiring new ones. 91% of customers say they would give referrals, but only 14% of salespeople ask for them. That doesn't sound true to me. What do you think?
Wait. You got to ask. There's no doubt of that, and there's no doubt that the same reason why you get 1,000 different postage snail mail and emails from your existing internet provider, because they know that they can upsell you easier than they can get a new client. It's more cost effective. So there's no doubt of that. I would go with the 80-20 rule for most things. You know, probably 80% of sales guys do not ask for the referral. 20% do.
Okay, you ask, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. When do you ask, and how often do you ask?
So if it's something, if it's a so today I had a call like I had with Jerry, and he's not at the right timing for him. Great. Well, Jerry, I understand it's not, you know, the right time for us to have a more in-depth conversation like this. But who do you know, maybe a firm that you've networked with in the past that I should reach out to that could benefit from my service? That would be a time. The other time is as we're getting near the end of the process and the website's getting ready to go live. You know, hey, who can I reach out to that could benefit from the services like you did? And then even after, we ask for Google reviews. We ask for people to reach out, maybe give us a LinkedIn recommendation. Those kind of things are always important if they enjoyed the process.
Oh, so you'll ask on that first call when they don't know you, when you have not built your credibility in any way, you'll say, Jerry, you know, I understand you're not interested necessarily at this very moment. But do you know anybody else I might speak to? What do you actually do? How do you negotiate that?
Well, yeah, just like I just kind of mentioned. Yeah, of course. I mean, they did it when I worked as a recruiter, too. At Canada, no, Steve, I'm not interested. It's an opportunity that doesn't make sense. Well, great.
Okay, some people say, don't ever ask on the first contact. It makes you look like a hustler. You haven't built any credibility, and you're asking for something already. That is bad. That's what lots of people say.
That's my only contact with them. So why? So I'm probably not going to talk to that person.
No, you're calling me in 2 months, man.
Well,
you're
but if you
me
don't
in 2 months.
Up, I have it down the line, but if you don't pick up.
Yeah.
And again, maybe Jerry's conversation wasn't the perfect example. I didn't do it in that instance because it didn't flow right. But with other instances, maybe they say, no, Steve, please don't call me again. Hey, that's fine. I can appreciate that. But – and then go into something asking for a referral. Same thing with candidates. You guys not do that? If a candidate says, you know, Jerry, I'm not interested at all. No, thank you. Well, it's my experience that good people know other good people. Who do you know that I can reach out to about that this may be a good opportunity for, the right timing for?
I rarely do. I'm lazy. I admit it. Seriously.
But would that be an okay thing to do?
Yeah, it's all situational. An animal
right.
doesn't like anybody judging the situation and making a, you know, calling a play mid-game. He's going to have a specific damn set of rules, and that's the only way it's going down. I'm able to be a little bit more fluid. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, audibles. My brain is shot.
Okay. Okay, final word. I'll give the final word. This guy, he's not a bad salesman. He sold me on getting him. I didn't want him as a guest.
I'm looking up his phone number so I can get a website. I feel like a schmuck with a WordPress piece of shit. I'm a loser. I got to go. Nice talking to you all.
Okay. Anyway, he sold me, and Steve, I really enjoyed having you on the show. I hope you come back sometime. Steve Gibson, Recruiters. What's the website?
Recruiterswebsites.com.
Thank you!
Real?
Yeah, I mean, she won't let anybody talk. Somebody has to talk over her, so she needs to shut up now.